Let us pause. O God, make sense of your words to us. Help us to receive them and to absorb them and then to share them. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today we are talking about blessings. Throughout Scripture, we know that God promises many blessings. In the Old Testament, there are blessings of children. If we remember God's promises to Abraham, he promised him many, many generations and nations, many offsprings. Blessings are also associated with land and inheriting the land and the promised land. And if we carry that forward, the land is blessed with crops and yields and fields. The blessings of prosperity and the provisions that God provides. And finally, the other major understanding of blessings had to do, in David's case, in the Psalms, he talks about the blessing of being delivered. Delivered from affliction, delivered from the enemy. And so the blessings of good health and long life and well-being and protection. In the New Testament, we see that blessings has to do with one's disposition. It's a little different. Blessing is related to happiness. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, the Greek word makarios is used. It's related to one's attitude, one's state of being and mind. Blessed or happy are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are meek and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful and the peacemaker and the pure in heart. So in Scripture, we see that blessings encompass a wide spectrum of God's goodness and grace. In our passage this morning, Jesus makes sure that he blesses the disciples because he is ready to leave the earth. After he had been resurrected and after he had had miracles and spent time with his disciples, it was time for him to be ascended. And so he blesses, and it is mentioned three times. In verse 50, it says, he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And then in verse 51, it says, as he was departing, as he was being lifted into heaven, he was blessing them. And finally, verse 52, as the disciples went back to Jerusalem, they were blessing God in the temple. The first part has to do with Jesus conferring the blessings upon them. As he was leaving, he was saying goodbye. He was giving them a gift, a parting gift, imparting them blessings. What Jesus was giving them was not material, was not something tangible, but it was emotional and spiritual. It was intangible. In the book of Acts, there's a description of Jesus going up into the clouds and ascending, and he says, you will receive the Holy Spirit. Not at that very moment, but in the days to come. So he's blessing them in the meantime. What is this blessing, then, that he was giving them? It has to do with energy. It has to do with power. It has to be this power of suggestion that Jesus is blessing them with. It could be that it has to do with everything that is well and strong and that which is related to being courageous and confident. And at the same time, being peaceful and soulful and compassionate and kind and merciful. All those good things, all those good adjectives, Jesus is blessing them. And then in verse 51, it says that while he was blessing them, he withdrew and was carried up into heaven. There isn't a sense where he says, okay, it's over. Goodbye. See you later. What is implied is he is blessing them and he is fading up and out of their lives, but he is still blessing them. It is continuing. It is ongoing. It's ever flowing. It almost reminds me like of the Star Trek, where there's this tractor beam that is placed upon the people and fixed on them and the subject, only that it doesn't pull one or trap one or imprison one, but there's this energy, there is this direction and power, there's this direct line to God that continues to flow. Then the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were blessing God in the temple. So we see the progression in these three verses. First, Jesus sprinkles and showers them with blessings, and they take it in, they absorb it. And then it is like this beam that is given down to them, and they receive it and absorb it, but then they start to bless God after that. As the Spirit sinks in, as the blessings inhabit them and dwell within them and take residence within them, all of a sudden it's lively and it comes out as he praises God. I was talking about this book the other day called The Architecture of Abundance, and Lenedra Carroll was talking about this image. We've all seen this image where you go and you take a pebble and you drop it into the pool. And we see the waves and we see the reverberations move out. So as she was standing there watching it, she noticed that the wave reached the edge of the shore and then it started to bounce back. The ripples and the waves started to return. And what she concluded was that the outgoing waves were matched in return. She then made the leap in her mind. She says, what if that same thing happens to the thoughts that we give out? What if the same things happen to the words that come out of our mouth? She was talking to a civil engineer who had studied wave theory. And in her studies, his studies, he concluded, yes, that is how these wavelengths behave and travel. The engineer says that we send out a shock of sound or some other medium, and then it bounces back like in a mirror image. So whether it's air or sound or water or heat, that is the theory, and that it shows that it is supported and proven. The implications then is that if we are preoccupied with fear and pain and we start to send those out, then the same return back to us. But on the other hand, if there is love and forgiveness and grace and mercy coming out of us, the same will be returned back to us in a mirror image. Now, if this is all true, then we can see why Jesus is sending blessings to the disciples who receive it and absorb it and then reflect it back. The disciples are reflecting back the positive energy in that they're blessing God in the temple after having received so much of it. The implication is that if we express our hopes and our dreams and everything positive to other people, that same energy and will return to us. If we spread that positive blessing to the community and to the mission field, who then absorb that, our hopes and dreams and joys, that it will be reflected back. Now you say, but what about those people who aim negativity at us? What about those who channel anger or doubt or criticism towards us? Then what? There's this one scripture I would like to share with you from the Old Testament. It comes from Daniel chapter 3. You remember the story of King Nebuchadnezzar and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego? If you remember the story, King Nebuchadnezzar wanted people to worship him and he set up idols and that they had to worship the idols. Once a day or so many times a day, they had to do this. And so there was Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and they would not give in to the spirit of compliance and conformity. They wouldn't give in to threat. The king was motivated by insecurity and being obsessive and being perfectionistic. Ken Callahan says that that deadly combination with threat results in resentment and low-grade hostility and eruptive forms of anger. But what if these people are shooting these things at you? How do we deal with it? What did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do? Right before they were going to be tossed into that fiery furnace, if you remember the story, as they were going to be thrown in the oven, they said this to King Nebuchadnezzar: "If our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, out of your hand, O king, let God deliver us. But if not, let it be known to you that we will not serve your gods. We will not worship the golden statue that you set up." So the king was angry, and he threw them into the fiery furnace, and they were not consumed. So they came out, and do you remember King Nebuchadnezzar's reaction? This is verse 28. This is what he says: "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Somehow, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were emanating some kind of love and grace and mercy and godliness, because in the end, King Nebuchadnezzar says, "Blessed be your God. Blessed be you." What do we do with all these negative emotions? Lenedra Carroll says what we can do is build these mental containers and put all those negative emotions inside of them and set them aside and give them to God. Or if you want to follow the image of the story in Daniel, get all those negative emotions and put them in the fiery furnace and let God burn them up. And you will come out and you will be blessed. You will be shored up and strengthened and encouraged. You will be edified and empowered and encouraged. Let us bless God. Let us bless somebody every day. And the blessings will return, and the blessings will be multiplied. Amen.